After infidelity, many people want closeness, even with the person who cheated on them, more than ever. They want reassurance. They want their partner to see them, understand them, hold them in their pain. And at the same time, they want to push them away. They want to withdraw. They want to shut down. And they feel uncomfortable being seen. So the question people end up asking, or maybe you don't even realize this is happening, but maybe this question will help you. Question is, why do I want closeness so badly? And why do I keep pushing it away the moment that it feels possible? There's a line by the writer Cole Arthur Riley that helps kind of articulate this feeling. She says that to admit your desire to be known would mean acknowledging the shame asleep in you that says you aren't worth knowing. She articulates this feeling that many of us deep down believe that we are not worth knowing. We have shame around who we are. And so the desire to be seen is simultaneously this desire for them to understand that we don't want to be seen, or that we don't feel like we deserve to be seen. After infidelity, wanting that closeness isn't strange. What's strange and painful is what that desire for closeness brings to the surface. Because betrayal doesn't just break trust, it forces self-reflection, it forces bringing things to the surface. And a lot of people are surprised at the amount of latent shame that the infidelity was a catalyst for exposing. Sometimes it creates shame, but oftentimes it's been dormant, and this awakens it. Suddenly there's this shame about being known at all. Perhaps the shame clusters around needing reassurance, or shame about feeling like you've changed as a person, or shame about how deeply this affected you. And what it can sound like is, if they really knew how broken I feel, they'd just leave again. Or if I show how much this still hurts, I'll look weak. Or if I let them see all of me, it'll just confirm that I'm too much. So there's this conflict. The desire to be known runs headfirst into the fear of being exposed. In other words, closeness, intimacy, feels like a risk. And not because the connection itself is bad per se, but being seen just feels dangerous now. And so sometimes people misinterpret this. Sometimes they think this means that they're insecure, or that they don't trust their partner, or that they're emotionally immature now. A lot of times they'll talk to themselves, kind of negative self-talk, saying things like, I should be over this by now. But what's driving it is shame. And shame doesn't usually make it really obvious that it is shame. Shame is really good at shape-shifting into other emotions. Shame can dress up as being logical, or it can dress up as protective, it can dress up as even wise. It convinces you that staying unseen is safer than being seen and rejected again. So what it looks like in practice is wanting reassurance, but then feeling embarrassed for needing it. Or wanting closeness, and then shutting down emotionally. Sharing facts, but hiding feelings. And just pulling away the moment that the intimacy and the connection starts to feel real. But what makes it really clear that it's shame is the judgment that comes after this behavior. It's the judging yourself for going through this cycle. It's judging yourself for having the pain. It's judging yourself for not wanting anyone to see the pain. And I think for a lot of people, what's happening, what's causing this, is you've just made the connection that when I was open, when I had my heart wide open, that's when I got hurt. So now I need to cower in shame and protect myself. But because you're in pain, you want that connection to comfort you. And so it's this very strong, kind of like two magnets next to each other that are polar opposites, two opposite forces, and you just get caught in the back and forth and the whirlwind. But across psychology, spirituality, philosophy, there's sort of a shared understanding of how to approach shame. And the wisdom that's often shared, and I think it's right, is that shame thrives in secrecy. Shame grows when it remains unnamed. And shame tends to loosen its grip when there's compassion instead of judgment. So healing doesn't mean forcing yourself to be brave or to get over it. It doesn't mean dumping your entire story on your partner. It doesn't mean pretending that there's no fear or no insecurity. It usually starts way smaller than those things. Sometimes it can be as simple to start off with is that it's admitting to yourself and then to your partner, I want to be close. I want this to be good, but I'm scared of what you will see. Other times it might just be in your own self-talk. Instead of asking questions like, why am I like this? It's getting curious around the shame and asking, what is this trying to protect me from? And ultimately, the antidote to shame is embracing the practice of being known in small doses. It could be one feeling that you share, one sentence expressed, one honest moment. It could be in a private journal at first, but it has to be at some point transferred to real people. And it might not be best to do it with the person who just betrayed you. Practice overcoming shame with people that you genuinely feel safe with, that you genuinely can trust. You don't have to share everything. You don't have to share it all at once. But begin practicing the art of being known. Because shame will tell you that being seen will destroy you. That if you go out from the shadows into the spotlight, there will be someone there ready to gun you down. You have to recognize that that's not true. And that's what I think is so beautiful about this line from Cole Arthur Riley. Despite the fact that she's calling out the shame that says you aren't worth knowing, she begins it by saying that we do have this desire to be known in spite of it. And so I think tuning into that part, that despite the shame, is still reaching out for love, is a healthy place to begin.